in Jesus, that he died and that he rose again, that he's promised us eternal life. But as I think back on the idea of, think back on my life and this whole thing about finding it hard to share the gospel, I didn't always find it hard. I remember as a kid, at primary school going around and, talking to people about whether they believed in God and asking my teachers whether they were Christians and they believed in God and inviting my friends to come along to was it kids club or kids church, which was, before there was super club and those things that we have today. I don't know, were any of you the same? That when you're a kid, it was, for those of you at least who have been believers since childhood, that it was easy, that it was part of your life and you talked about it with others. And gradually over time, you realise that maybe some people wouldn't like it if you talked about it with them. Some people might avoid you. Some people might make fun of you. But I think one of the things that really has made it harder for me to share the gospel was not the fact that you got made fun of sometimes. But it's, I remember inviting, like I said, those friends along to kids' church and they would come for a while. And then a parent would discourage them from all of this nonsense that they'd been learning about God. Or, inviting them along to something as teenagers and they were right into it. Until, they discovered the fun of alcohol and girls and all of those things. I think one of the reasons I find it hard to share the gospel is because I sometimes struggle to believe that people will change, that people will hear it, that they will believe and have everlasting life. Now, I don't know, is that just a me thing? Or is that something that we can all struggle with? Not so much that we believe that the gospel is true, but that we struggle to believe that people will respond in faith and believe it along with us. I think there are a lot of reasons we might struggle to talk about Jesus. I think that's one of them. That as I looked over my life, that's one of the areas that I think I might have been discouraged, and that discouragement has bled into how I've gone about sharing the gospel with people. But there are other reasons that people might struggle. I'm not going to lie, I think the Western world, Australia and Europe and even America in the 21st century is a hard mission field in a lot of ways. Because we're surrounded by a world who think that they know what the gospel is about and they don't want it. The gospel that they don't want is not the real gospel, but it's difficult to get to that point in the conversation. Another reason we might struggle to share the gospel is because we worry that we'll make a mess of it, that we'll somehow say the wrong thing and, ruin the whole possibility that that person will ever become a Christian. Or maybe we might worry about our own lives and that we're not good enough. Look, my own life is a mess. How can I go out and tell other people to follow Jesus? Now, this morning in my message, I've heard a lot of sermons over the years about sharing the gospel that have made me feel really guilty that I didn't go out and share the gospel more. Made me feel guilty about not shining my light, about not being part of that great commission. And that is not what I want to do this morning. Mostly, I think in large part, because guilt is a terrible motivator for sharing the gospel. Is it good news that we're sharing if we're feeling like God is looking over my shoulder and is going to be grumpy with me if I don't talk to this person about the gospel? I think that whole feeling, that attitude will bleed into what we share and how we feel as we share it. Guilt is not a motivation that lasts in encouraging us to share the gospel. But instead, as we saw in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus encourages us to share our light. Share our light like a lamp on a stand instead of under a basket. And light is good, a good thing to share. Light can be uncomfortable, like when someone turns the lights on you when you're having a nice sleep in the morning, or when somebody's got those jolly LED headlights coming at you the other way. Light can be uncomfortable, but light is good. Light brings knowledge. You know a lot more about a place if you see it in the daytime than if you see it in the night. You can see the way things are. Light brings safety. How many times have you stubbed your toe or banged your shin against something as you're stumbling to the loo in the middle of the night and it's too dark? And that's only, with the hazards we have in our home. If you're walking around, an area with mine shafts or something, darkness gets very dangerous. So light brings safety. Light brings growth. You take a seed, you put it in the ground, you give it water, and it grows toward the sun, the light that appears to it. Light is a good thing that we have to share. I want you to think this morning about the things that you have evangelized your friends about. It might be a Dyson vacuum cleaner. Hey, look, I got a Dyson vacuum cleaner. It's cordless and it made my life so much easier. You should think about getting one. It might be a certain brand of power tools. You should get a set of Makitas. These are the one. This gets the job done for me. Might be a type of beer or wine. Hey, have you tried this? Oh, I love this. It's one of the best I've ever tasted. You should try it. And that's the thing, isn't it? Like, you should try. You should look at this thing because I'm excited about it, and I want to share it with you because I think it will be good for you as well. Have we all got something that we've evangelized somebody about? Not using evangelism in the sense of sharing the gospel, but in that sense of sharing something that we're excited about. And I'm going to be honest, yes, sometimes it's easier to evangelize some of those things. You're not likely to break a relationship with somebody over whether you're into Makita, but that they're into DeWalt, and that's the end of the friendship. Maybe if it's Port and Crows, that could bring some strife. But no, in seriousness, it isn't something that's likely to cause a lot of trouble in a relationship, where we know that sometimes sharing the gospel does have the potential to bring that difficulty. But what we have to share is light, hope, good news. What we have to share is forgiveness and freedom. We have something to share with people that has been good for us, and we know will be good for them, because God is good and He is who we are created for, who we need to live a life that is good. Think about Jesus who came. If we can share light with people, it's only because He gave us light to share. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus came and He brought us light into the world. He gave us the goodness of God, the forgiveness of sins, the kingdom of heaven. And He taught about, as we saw this morning, He taught about letting our light shine. And I just realized what song I should have picked as my my hymn at the end. But he talked about being a light on a stand. And he put his money where his mouth was. He spent his whole life sharing the kingdom of God with people. And then he was put up on a stand, on a Roman cross. The light of the world. And at his death, the world was plunged into darkness. The light of the world hung on that cross in order to triumph over the darkness. He was good. We were sinful. And our sin kept us separated from God. We were all in darkness. And there was no way of us rescuing ourselves. No way of us saving ourselves. But Jesus gave his life in our place. The light for those in darkness, that we might have life. And the light triumphed over the darkness when Jesus rose from the grave. At the first light, the new dawn of a very new day, as Jesus rose again. And if you believe in Jesus, and if you look at your life, you should see that his light has made a difference in your life. After you have, you might be, you know, a quiet time in the morning sort of person, and you spend your time with God. And that sets up our day. And after you go out from your quiet time, you might not be consciously thinking about God all day long as you do your dishes and mow the lawns and go to your job and all of those things. But being a believer in Jesus, knowing that he is with you, colours everything that happens throughout your day. In the words of C.S. Lewis, he talks about, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else." We see the whole world through the eyes of the hope that we have in Jesus. That's why when we have a time of crisis, we have a hope that is unshakable even beyond that crisis. And so we face that crisis differently than somebody who doesn't have Jesus. In a time of loss, we have the comfort and hope of the gospel, of life everlasting, that Jesus offers to all who have believed in his name. And so we face loss differently because of the light that Jesus has given us in our lives. In our fears, we have times of fear and doubt. We have his hope and his peace, that light in our lives that makes a difference to how we see and how we feel things. When we face persecution or hardship or even being insulted for the gospel, in his light, we're able to avoid trading insult for insult. He enables us to hold our tongue and show grace, like the grace that he has shown to us. If we look through our life, we see the way that the light has made a difference in all sorts of ways, in all sorts of situations that we face. And the situations that we face may not be all that different from the people in the world around us, but we face them very differently because Jesus is with us. And I think that, the difference that Jesus makes, the knowledge that your sins are forgiven so you're no longer trapped to wallow in guilt and in shame. We confess our sins and we bring them to him, knowing that he forgives us. that hope that he gives us, the joy, the love, the peace, that is the reason to share the gospel and to be able to share it with others, to share our light and the difference that it's made in our lives. Not because God is looking over our shoulders and will be cross if we don't talk to people, but because he has given us something wonderful and our friends and our family need it. Most especially, although they don't know it, they need forgiveness and a relationship with God, their Father. And so we can go and we can share that light with us. And I won't lie to you, there will be those who don't want to hear it, who don't want to hear the good news, who don't want to hear about the way that you're able to get through a hard time because Jesus is with you, that you're able to get through a loss because you know that person is not dead forever, but is with God, their Father. There will be people who don't want to hear it. That's not the passage I was expecting to be up there. But if I turn to John chapter 3, I think we all know chapter 6, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." But Jesus goes on to say, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Jesus picks up that illustration of light again. It can be a very uncomfortable experience to come into the light when we are covered with all of the filth of our sins, of the way that we have lived in rejection of God, our Creator. And a lot of people will find that too much. They won't like the light because what it shows about themselves. But there will be people who will receive that light eagerly, even with what it shows about our sinfulness, because it's also the light of one who has come to wash away our sins and make us white as snow. There will be some who don't want to hear it, but there will be some who do. When the apostles were sharing the good news of God throughout the book of Acts, we read this: "When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed." It's an interesting turn of phrase, isn't it? Because it reminds us that God is going before his apostles in the hearts of those who he is bringing to salvation. All who were appointed for eternal life believed. God is working on people out there, and we don't know which ones, but he's already at work in people, probably in people that we know, to bring them to the gospel. I could have also put later on in Acts, Paul arrives very discouraged in the city of Corinth, and God tells to him, "Stay here in Corinth for a while, for I have many people here." Now, he didn't have any people there yet, but he had many people there that he was working on. God is with us, working with us. Or it's probably more fair to say that we are working with God in his work of sharing the gospel. And so he's not sending us out to do it alone, and he's not sending us out on a hopeless task. And he might be working on some people for a very long time. In the early days of the church, their mission strategy was go out and tell people the gospel. Some will receive it, some won't. Move on, go tell the next group of people. But then the churches would form and they would stay and they would continue to witness to their families and friends. And there have been plenty of people who have come to faith who didn't believe the first time they heard the gospel, or the second, or the third, or the 45th. But God brought them to himself through all of those people that would share with them. But what about some of those other things that we might struggle with sharing our light? What if I make a mess of it and say the wrong thing? I'm not going to promise you from up the front that you will never put your foot in it and say something that might not be the ideal thing to have said in that circumstance. But I can promise that God is with you. And he guides us in our words no less than in our actions. And my understanding of God's sovereignty of the world is that there won't be people out there that end up in hell because I phrased something slightly poorly. But that God will work through the efforts that are sincere, through hearts that want to share his goodness with people around him. Or as I said, we might think, I can't go and tell the people around me about Jesus. What about all this mess in my own life? And it is true that we need to look for logs in our own eyes, don't we? That parable Jesus told about not taking the speck out of somebody else's eye. But our message is not, be a super amazing righteous person like me. In which case, you know, having a mess in your life would be a barrier to sharing the gospel. Our message is, bring your sins to Jesus and be forgiven like me. And that's something we can say even if there is some mess in our life. As I said earlier, I think 21st century Australia is a hard place to share the gospel. And it can be easy to just decide that people, you know, there's not much point because people won't believe. But you did. And I did. And God is already working on others who will. So be encouraged in that. So how do we share the gospel? How do we share that light with the world around us? I don't have enough time left in my sermon to say, because there are so many ways, many and varied ways to share the gospel. It will depend on your family and your friends. Sometimes the best way to have a conversation. But there are a few things that I'd encourage you to. If you're sharing with somebody, share with honesty. You don't feel like you have to pretend that your life is perfect because you follow Jesus. But share about how Jesus is a comfort to you in an imperfect life. Look for opportunities to talk about, you know, the difference that Jesus is making in your life. And it doesn't have to mean that you sit people down and say, in the beginning, God made the world and it was good, but we messed it up. And you don't have to go through a full gospel presentation every time you talk to somebody in faith, although we do want to be working towards that opportunity to be able to share the gospel in its fullness. But it starts with that honesty about that God is a part of my life and he makes a difference. That leads to that hearing of, why is it you believe in that? That leads to the questions, and we're always ready to give an answer for the hope that we have. So share your hope with the people around you. And when it comes to more of, you know, the specifics, the how-to of sharing the gospel, again, I'm not necessarily the best person to tell it all. This is something I need to grow in as much as we all need to grow in it. And so throughout next term, term two, I want to run a series, 6 steps to talking about Jesus. And so I'm going to be putting a thing out there in the foyer for anybody who would like to be part of a 6 steps to talking about Jesus group. Or you might want to host a group in your home and invite people to come around and be a part of that. You might not have time for that, but you want to be a part of it and be encouraged and grown in being able to share the gospel. And I'm not going to put specific dates and things down yet because there might be multiple groups that meet on different days of the week or whatever, but that's going to be something that our church is working on through next term. And what I'd love to see come out of it is that these groups continue to keep in touch even when the 6 weeks are over, to encourage one another with the conversations that you've had with people. Or to honestly share, hey, I've still been struggling to share this. Can you pray for me and help me? And so I hope that's something that will be a blessing and an encouragement to us. But I think when it comes to closing the message this morning, when it comes to sharing the light that we have because of Jesus with the world around us, if we do it out of thankfulness for what God has given us and with, a sincere love for the person that we're sharing it with, then there aren't really, with those two things in place, there isn't really a wrong way to share. So long as we share God's word, his gospel faithfully, in love and in truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us a part in your incredible mission to all of the world, to all nations. We thank you that your gospel has reached as far as this nation, that we have heard and believed the good news. May we be encouraged to see your goodness in our lives, and through that to be encouraged to share the hope that we have, the forgiveness that we have, the peace that we have in Jesus. Help us to be bold to speak. Help us to remember that the harvest is plentiful, so that we won't be discouraged. We pray that you will work through our meager offerings that we give in love to you, our Saviour, who gave your life for us. And we pray, trusting that you will be with us throughout it all. You have not left us to do this work alone, but that you are with us to the very end of the age. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.